fixing to start our tent meetings. We said that a night or two here. I got about 5 different phone calls I got to answer from different states where different ones are working and setting up meetings and trying to get everything ready. And one of them is already set up. That is the place, location, and whatever over in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Everything's about ready. And I think Brother Ron's leaving tomorrow. Brother John called. I haven't answered his call. They'll be going over and they'll be getting everything ready for the tent meeting beginning on the 8th of August. And then, of course, one day on the 9th, we'll be right in Olive Branch, Mississippi, there at the Holiday Inn, if the good Lord is willing, having a minister's conference there in the amphitheater and in their executive room. Most likely, you won't want to stay there if you go because it's so expensive. You probably want to stay somewhere else and just come over to attend the meeting. And then Brother Conrad, he called today concerning the Louisiana meeting. Brother Jim Kirk's already down there. And he said that the people were really enthused about the meeting in New Iberia, Louisiana. Real enthused about it. And they're wanting to know the date on it. They're working on a meeting over in down around Houston, Beaumont, somewhere along in there. Maybe in Houston. And they'll probably be working on one down around Jackson, Mississippi. And then we've got one already in progress so far as getting the land and the different things out in Deming, New Mexico, or out in that area. And if the Lord doesn't stop us, which He might do, we're planning to go right on through to California. A number of tents, they've asked for us to come into the areas of Arizona. And we preached up and down the coast of California, and I preached there under a tent. I remember preaching down in Bell Garden, I believe it was, under someone else's tent. Another evangelist, I can't remember his name, he was preaching there. One of the outstanding evangelists out of, if I could call his name, out of Dallas, Texas. He's got a big operation there. But he and I was preaching there under the tent out in California. And as I said, we preached there in Anaheim for the full gospel businessmen, Placentia, Los Angeles, a lot of places out there. If you want to go, you make ready, and if not, you pray for us that we can go and that we can do something for the Lord. Welcome you to go if you feel to go, long journey. But some of you will travel a long ways, you know, to see your relatives and friends. And the Lord called Abraham his friend. So some of you might be a friend of the Lord and you might want to travel that far. Some of you probably won't want to travel that far. And if you don't, we don't feel bad at you. You know, but in case you want to go, you're welcome to go. I think the last meeting we had, was it in Alabama? Was it Alabama? Oh, was it Eden? I don't remember. Anyway, we had a great meeting down in Alabama. House full of folks. Let's stand together as we read this. I want to read just a little bit. Now, let me ask you, if you're real busy and you've got places you've got to go and you need to leave and you can't afford to stay, let me ask you to kind of ease on out as I read the scripture, so that you can do whatever you have to do and whatever's pressing you. It's better to do that because it's irreverent to walk out when the minister's preaching. And besides that, you shorten your life. See, when he starts preaching, that's the anointing, that's God speaking. And when you walk out on God, God doesn't like it because it's like Moses, you know, you talk about your time and you got to get to work and get your sleep and all this kind of thing. But like Moses, God said, Moses, you go down and do a job for me. He said, I'm slow of speech. God said, who made your mouth? So see, God looks at it like that. Who gave you your life? Who gave you your time? You know, you got plenty of time to hear me. I can give you 10 years more. If you're running shorter, I can take 15 away from you. I've said this a lot of times, and I say it repeatedly to try to indoctrinate you with reverence as to know how to conduct yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. You may have an urgency, like somebody the other day had to go somewhere, and they told me he had something come up that was urgent. Well, I understand that, but then I asked the question, isn't God's business urgent? Is there anything more urgent than God's business? When a man asked to bury his father, the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead and you go preach the gospel. So which is really the urgent thing? So as I've said, you give 5 minutes to God, he may give you 5 years. You take 5 minutes away from him, he may take 15 years or 5 years off of your life. He gave Hezekiah a little more time because he walked with the Lord. Many people lived a short life. They're dead. They're in their grave. They passed on because they didn't have any time for God. They were very busy. And then there's people that still are living that has lived of a great age because they had a little time for God. And God gave them a little more time. So you do whatever you want to do, but at least be reverent enough to me. You know, if you're not to the Holy Spirit, as to walk out on him, be reverent enough to me to either make up your mind to sit and listen until we finish, or either ease out while we're reading. And most likely I won't, well, you'd think I wouldn't notice you anyway. I wouldn't see you. You could ease on out. And that would be it, you know. And then you could go to your job early in the morning, make money, feed the tummy, and everything will be well with you. Or you could go take care of your urgency, whatever it is. You say, well, Brother Pike, the way you talk, you make it mighty hard for anybody to ease out. Well, I'm not trying to make it hard for you to ease out. I just want you to know that easing out of the house of God is of the devil. That's all I want you to know. And when you ease out one way or another, while I'm preaching and while I'm reading, it's still of the devil. And I'm just up front with what I've got to say. And I tell you what it is. There are some things where people do ease out to get to their jobs, and I've made allowance for it. Because the people have stayed many times very reverently. And sometimes they do have things that come up in their jobs and whatever. And they try to work with the Lord, and the Lord works with them, and that's not of the devil. But ordinarily, it's of the devil. And listen, folks, when you get up and you take your kid and you go out, and then you come back and you get up and you take your kid and you go out, that is of the devil. That is the devil that's leading and guiding you. And you are interrupting continually. And you don't need to do that. All right, let's read just a little bit in the book of Jude. So in the book of Jude, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know natural is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Tories whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking at their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. And the thought here I'd like to get back to once again. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. We spoke of this before. As a matter of fact, I mentioned the other night, one of our messages on the Caribbean beacon going way down into Guyana, we received a letter from Guyana, I believe it was, or somewhere in the islands where one of the people had heard this sermon that I had preached concerning the body of Moses. And he was so fascinated, he wrote back and said, I've got to have that sermon. Now, I'd like to comment a little on it, and I don't know whether I'll try to get extensive or get into Revelation or not. It depends on whether you're interested or whether you're hungry. See, God is the great God of secrets, and he revealeth his secrets to his servants, those that honor him and follow him. As he said of Abraham, seeing that Abraham will command his household after him, shall I then hide anything from Abraham? Is not Abraham my friend? And so he called Abraham his friend. Now, so I come to this part of the service, and it is up to God as to whether God will tell us anything or not. He is willing to, he wants to, and he'll do it if we want to hear it. You know, but it takes Calvary for Jesus to obtain the high place that he obtained as being Lord of Lords and King of Kings or King of all. He had to go through a crucifixion. He had to be beat. He had to be cast into prison, and he chose this way. The Bible said, enduring the cross, despising the shame thereof, but for the joys that were set before him, or that is the reward that he was to get for doing this thing. Paul did the same thing, whereas Paul said, let us go on to a full reward. See, Paul did this very same thing. Paul didn't even have a wife. He left off with having a wife so that he could have a greater reward. He left off with that. He gave himself fully to the Word of God and the things of God. He said, I could lead about a sister or a wife like anyone else, but he chose to do this. Paul did not have to be stoned. Paul did not have to be beaten. Paul did not have to go to jail. But Paul did this so that he could suffer with Christ, saying, I seek to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. See, because he knew the reward would be greater. The Bible said some was killed. They would not accept release. They wanted to release some of them. But the Bible said that these people that were put to death, they refused to accept freedom and release so that they might obtain a greater reward. So then, see, we subject ourselves to the Word of God even the more in every way that it says, to self-denial, to suffering, or whatever it is, that we might get the more in God. We come here to the church or wherever we're at, under the tent. Sometimes you're sitting under the tent, it gets hot, mosquitoes are biting, it's aggravating, and the devil is trying to run you off or take your mind away from those things of God. You come to the church, and it doesn't matter if you put up, no matter how many tons of air conditioning up there, the devil does something. Just like we got two huge air conditioners going right now. But he'll do anything to scorch you. He'll do anything to make you miserable. He'll make people get up and go out, get up and go out, come in and out, and use a little child for an excuse. He'll do anything with a person that is carnally minded. A person that is carnally minded, that is sitting in the group, he'll use their mind because it is enmity with God, and he'll do anything he can to disturb your mind or to distract you or to do whatever, you know. He'll try to get your attention. He'll nudge you. He'll pinch you. He'll push you. He'll whisper in your ear, or he'll get up and walk around, or she'll push you. I'll pinch you, or she'll get up and walk around, or the child's got to go over here. They got to do this. It's a constant thing of the devil in their carnal mind to keep your attention away from the Word of God. See, Peter said, look on us. Not because there's anything to look at so far as human beings, but to look on us because it is not us speaking but Christ. It is not us living but Christ. Our person is dead. Our person is buried. If I wasn't following Christ, I wouldn't be here tonight. When I was out on my own and I didn't follow God, I didn't go to the church. I had all kind of places I went. If this was the man that was born into this world as a man of this world, I wouldn't be here tonight. God struck me down like he did Paul, and he turned me around because I was an ambitious fellow and I was going in every direction but the right one. See, so then it's not me, Paul said, living, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, because I lost my life because of sin. And he gave me a new life. When I speak to you, I speak to you as the oracle of Christ. And if I do anything, I do it as unto the Lord. So I'm here tonight for your benefit. I'm here to try to do what I can for you and to help you. And I have no personal motives, none whatsoever. I'm just here to try to help you. This is my duty in the Lord. Paul said, I must preach the gospel to every creature as much as lieth within me. And I'm trying to do just exactly that. If I come up here, I may not do nothing but exhort you even tonight. You know, it just depends. You may not be hungry. You are a good audience. You're paying attention. It's uncomfortable, but you're willing to endure a little bit of Calvary, just a little bit of the cross, you know, to sit here and listen. But I don't know that you're going to be hungry enough that God would speak to you. See, I can't do it myself. Jesus said of myself, I can do nothing. I do always the things I see my Father do. One spirit, many operations. I cannot bring this to you. I cannot talk to you. I cannot heal you. I cannot do anything. Not one thing can I do of myself. But whatever I see the Father do through the eyes of my understanding, then I can do exactly that. For whatever the Father does, the Son can do. And so then, I come tonight to try to share with you whatever he tells me, whatever he makes me to know. I come to you for that purpose. I didn't know Gary had brought that guitar. I just spotted it then. I saw somebody come in, but I didn't know what this was doing. I just looked at it then. But anyway, see, I come to tell you about Jesus and about Revelation. I come to talk with you. I come to tell you about these things. I want to tell you, but I don't know, you know, whether you'll want to hear or not. I don't know whether you'll... You say, Brother Pike, we're here. Aren't we here to hear? Sure, you're here to hear. I know you want to hear about the Lord, whether it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or some of you that would like to stay longer, or there's some of you that's really genuinely hungering and thirsting after God. But I don't know whether hunger and thirst tonight is enough to bring forth these things. A lot of times I say this, I sit down with four or five brethren, ain't but four or five brethren. But they're hungry, and they're so hungry. And they start pulling, and these things come forth, you know. It's God that does whatever he does, whether he heals, whether it's discernment, or wherever it is. It's not by power of might, it's by the Spirit. Now, I can get up here like any preacher. I can sing, I can entertain you, I can get him to play on the organ. We can do all kinds of things. I can pray for you, I can shout, I can holler, I can jump, I can push you, I can shove you. I can just do all kinds of things. But see, that wouldn't be the way. That wouldn't be the way. You know, children did that, spiritual children done that when Pentecost first fell. And then it's like they, when they got in the wilderness, they got over there, they shouted, danced, done all them things, and then come time for them to listen to the word. Because the serpent's got the biting, and all the jumping and hollering and shouting don't keep cancer off. It don't keep the devils away. It don't keep you from dying. The church is dying. They got to come into something. They got to get something. They got to get over the carnal mind that's enmity with God. They got to get into something for God if they're going to get over the Jordan of that old intellectual wilderness wandering of their minds of doing their thing and going where they want to and being what they want. They got to get over that, folks. So the preacher's got to preach to him. And I can preach to you, know, all preachers can preach. You know, they can preach to you. They're called for that purpose. But the thing is to get God to speak. You know, one spirit, many operations. Preaching is one operation. Teaching is another operation. The revelation of Jesus Christ coming forth as to the spirit of revelation is another operation. So then, I can speak to you, but if God is going to bring out anything as to revelation, there's got to be some hungering and there's got to be some thirsting. And of course, I ain't felt that kind of hungering and thirsting here tonight. I'm going to read this. I'm going to say something about it. And if the hunger comes, we get it. If it don't, well, we'll wind up exhorting you or preaching to you a little bit. And that is it. Remember, the dispute was over the body of Moses. And here we see Michael, the archangel. And when you say the archangel, a lot of people don't know what you're talking about, the archangel. See, you speak of the archangels. You speak of Michael. You speak of Gabriel. You speak of the angels. You see these little moonstones up here over my head? Those, of course, is listening to my voice, you know, whether it be by radio or whatever. You couldn't see that, of course. But when you say archangel, you know, you're speaking of something just like you would make an arch. Not that that is what it is as archangel, but referring to it like an arch. See, there are covering cherubs. There are those that are the covering cherubs, and certain angels represent that. Certain angels are called for that. As to wing to wing and tip to tip, that is to say Michael and Gabriel, these are the two angels that stands by God. And they're right there at His command. Whenever He says go, Michael goes. Whenever He says go, Gabriel goes. One goes as a messenger. One goes as a warrior. So then these are standing there like Moses and Elijah, which also makes up the covering cherubs. And thou those that make up the covering cherub, like a man and a woman, as to wing to wing, as we say, as to tip, and through their relation comes the children. So then, this is the way it is. And here we find one of these great angels, and this angel called Michael has come down to have a dispute. He has come down to have a dispute. He's the warrior. He sees the devil, Lucifer, going down to pick up the body of Moses. And all of a sudden, this great angel that can move faster than the light, this great angel, he comes down and stands before Satan. And all of a sudden, as Satan reaches for the body, the angel of God says, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. That is, you can't have this body. And here it is, there's a contest. Two great and mighty angels. I mean, powerful figures standing there. One facing another. And this great, mighty Lucifer, powerful, the God of the world. Lucifer, he's standing there ready to get that body. And that mighty warrior, Michael, is standing there saying, don't you touch it, Lucifer. You know, and there it is. Now, you say, Brother Pike, what's going to happen? Well, the same thing that happened in the days of Daniel. That angel came flying down and he started down there to answer Daniel's prayers. And that messenger of Lucifer run out there and said, you can't do it. And another one run out there and all of a sudden there was war. There was war in heaven. Revelation 12, here's Lucifer. He claimed that body. Here's Michael, said, you can't do it. So Lucifer, he's calling for his angelic forces. I'll take that body. And here is Michael calling for the angelical forces, saying you can't have that body. See, this body has been in the presence of God 80 days and night. No food, no water. There it stood. It crossed over that carnal mind.
It got over the Jordan. It made it over the crossing. You can't claim it. Death, you don't have any power over this body. It's already made the crossing. It's already stood in the presence of Almighty God. You can't take this Lucifer. So then here is the dispute over the body. See, the great war in heaven. What is the war over? It's over the body. See, I say this again. We might not be able to get into very much revelation tonight. But I say this again to you. See, the war is over the body. The dispute is over the body. This whole warfare is over the body. Great is the mystery of godliness. What is this great mystery? It's the mystery concerning the lost and redemption of the body. So then, what is the war about? It's over the body. Why is it over the body? Because Lucifer is wandering through dry places. His angels are wandering through dry places. Unless they have human bodies that they can enter into. They must have human bodies that they can enter into. If they don't have human bodies, then they wander through dry places. That is to say, spiritually speaking, they don't have any inspiration. Inspiration to them is the waters of life. And being a spiritual being, they have no way to get it. And so they're wandering through these dry places seeking rest, and they can't find it. So then they seek human bodies. Because there are human bodies, that's in the days of grace. And the blood is on the seat of atonement. And this blood being on the seat of atonement, it provides the blessings of God as to the rain upon the body. Though the body isn't redeemed, and though the body is still subject to vanity, it is the creature. It is subject to the laws of nature and the things of this world. And the devil can torment the life out of you through that body. Bump your head, hurt your feet. Cut yourself. Have a wreck. Somebody hurts your feelings. You get hungry. You're thirsty. All kind of things. The devil can war with your soul. The Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust, even the lust of the eyes. Abstain from fleshly lust, which warreth against the soul. And so then he makes war against your soul. Why does he do that? Because he's trying to get into your body. Look at it for just a minute. Here is Adam and Eve in the garden. Here is the body, it's fine, no problems, everything's fine, no pestilence. There's no feeling of insecurity. There's nothing to disturb them. But all of a sudden, this interruption comes. Through the weakness of the woman, here, the man not being in the transgression, through the weakness of the woman, all of a sudden the body is lost. Adam loses his body. Eve is his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Adam loses his body, which is Eve. He has lost the power of reproduction. He cannot have a home. He cannot have children. He cannot have a wife to caress him. He's lost all of his kingdom because he lost his body. God allowed that through man and woman. Without the woman, there's no reproduction unto life. So then, the body is lost. So Adam, he doesn't know what to do. And finally, God, in his mercy, though Adam wasn't in the transgression, yet God takes Adam and he puts him out with Eve. Adam is out there with Eve among the thorns and the thistles to labor to make her a living, that reproduction might continue on. But remember now, with the expulsion in the garden, the body is now lost. It's now separated from God. We say Adam from Eve, that wasn't what it was. That was only a type. See, the female and the male. It was man who is the female part being separated from God, the Holy Spirit, which is the male part. It is Christ and his bride. So then now, the body having been made in the image of Adam has lost its identity with Adam, and Lucifer has taken Eve over. So then Eve is now enticing Adam. And Adam, as it was with Jesus to the church, being made sin that he might redeem his body, coming in a human body, in the likeness of the human body, he come to redeem the body, and he came in the form of that body that he might keep that body perfect, that he might do away with sin,
That body, which was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect body, the body that had failed, that he might pick that body up out of the grave, pass it through the fire, protect it as it went down into the grave, protect it from corruption, go with it into the flames of hell and protect it from the devouring flames of hell, and bring it back up out of there, picking up that body, making it celestial, having restored the original spiritual image to the fallen image or the lost image, which was the woman. So then, I said that to say this, that Adam is the woman. In Adam, the woman, all die. Her seed comes forth unto death. But the man's seed is given forth unto life. So then, all the way from the garden down to Calvary, it is death. All die in Adam, the woman. And then on the other side of Calvary, then comes the beginning of the creation of God. Because the same image that God created Adam in the beginning is now brought back again at Calvary and restored, and the body is picked up, and the image once again is in the likeness of the husband, and the marriage is there. The only thing is we've got to with the redemption, we've got to recognize the redemption. We've got to know that we're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We've got to wait for the church ages to pass, wait for the transitional changes until we can come to the place to wit the redemption, and then the marriage takes place and we're back once again with our husband. Being divorced from the old husband, we are now married to the new husband. That is to say, we're divorced from Lucifer, the infiltration of the mind of bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, and the infiltration is now gone. And now Christ is in our life, and our bodies is now married to the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit. We now have our new husband. So then, in Adam, all die. In Christ, all is made alive. So we see the woman, we see the law, we see all of these things. The woman, Israel, showing the body, is under the law. And as it is written, when it comes to the preaching, when it comes to the teaching, when it comes to the instruction, this is why that a woman cannot preach. The Bible said, let your women keep silence, for they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. The obedience there that it speaks of is that the woman, being found in the transgression, must be obedient to her husband. She must be subject to her husband, and her obedience is under a husband. And the Bible said that in the New Testament, it doesn't change that. She must be under obedience. She must be under subjection to her husband. It isn't that she's under the curse. She's not under the curse. You can't point a finger at her, as I said the other night, to belittle her or to think that you're greater than she is. It's just that redemption comes through Christ for the church. And the woman's redemption is through her head, her husband. If she doesn't honor her husband, if she doesn't subject herself to her husband, if she doesn't reverence her husband, then she cannot be saved. There's no way. See, that is to say, the head is the savior of the body. Now, you know that. If you cut your head off, where would your body be? God holds the man responsible for the woman, because he is the head and she is the body. So then the body being found by Jesus, he has cleansed the body. The dispute is over the body. What has Lucifer done? He took the body. Why did he take the body? He wanted that which God had made, the garden, this world. He cannot have access to the appetites, to the passions, or any thrill of the body. He can't have any access to it unless he can live in the body. And he saw how beautiful it was, how great it was, that God, the great spirit, had made himself a body and was going to live in this body and wasn't going to feel any infirmities, because there wasn't to be any infirmities. But to live in the body, he was going to live in the body and enjoy the wonderful things of the garden. And it was going to be God in his body. It was just going to be God in the earth as his membership. That's what it was going to be. And so then Satan saw this wonderful thing and he deceived Eve. When he deceived Eve, he took control of the body. And when he took control of the body, man's spirit in Adam, being made a little lower than the spirit of the fallen angel Lucifer, then Adam was no match for him. Even living in a woman, he domineered. He took over. As the world today, even in the women, the domineering spirit, you can't break it. They don't want it, bro. It's taken over, and America is in a mess. So then, it is in the world today. See, and she took over, and she run the house, as we say. She'd done what she wanted to. Adam could have had strength to resist it, but to have that strength, he would have had to have Christ. See, and partaking of the fruits that Eve brought to it automatically made him subject to Satan. So he turned away from God. He subjected himself to Satan, who through the woman said, "See, this is good for me to eat." And he did eat. So then the expulsion was that out went the body, because both of them were one. Out went the body. The body going out, being cut off from God. Out went the body. Now, here's the thing that we got to remember. God did not destroy the body. He said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Whereas they did die in the sense that they were separated from God. So far their body, it was put out of the spirit. See, but was man separated from God? Didn't they come back and offer up their offerings? Even Cain. Didn't Abraham all down through the years? Didn't Moses? Wasn't God always around? Hasn't the Holy Ghost always been there? Sure, he wasn't made a gift unto us unto eternal life until after Calvary, but he's always been there. See, so the body was separated from the beautiful garden. It was separated from the pleasures of God. It was separated, the creature made subject to vanity, not willingly. It wasn't the desire of the creature, but by reason of God, who subjected the same in hope, having to put them out, made them subject to the bondage of this world, but he had Christ to give them the hope of glory. So then, God did not separate himself from man's spirit. Man did not die so far as his spirit. He was not separated from God. What Lucifer wanted to do was to get the body, take the body, and war with the body until he could get inside and subject the spirit of that body to his spirit. And then the body would belong to him. Whereas God made that for himself. See, there's three minds that war in here. All three of those minds. One of those minds is your mind of the land of garlic and onions, eating and drinking. Another mind is the mind of Lucifer, a dirty, filthy, scummy mind that wants to take control of your body and infiltrate it and use it for his own lust, his gullible desire. And then there is another spirit, another mind, which is the mind of God, which is clean and holy, even the mind of Christ. And this mind wants to take control of that body. And God wants to use your brain. All three of these minds are trying to use your brain. And at different times, they can use it. I could come to Brother Taylor and I could say, "Thus saith the Lord." It could be my mind as a man. I could come back the next day and say, "Thus saith the Lord." It could be Satan's mind. I could come back the next day and say, "Thus saith the Lord." It could be the mind of Christ. See, and we have to have the power to differentiate, knowing the scriptures, understanding the word of God. Because these three beings use our brain. Remember, when you first come into the world, you're just a little blood cell is all that starts. And cell upon cell, but there's life. From God, through your father's genes, it builds, it becomes an image, it comes forth as an image. When that image comes into the world, it knows nothing. So there's no record in heaven of any being as to characteristics, as to knowledge, as to guilt, as whatever. There is no record of a being. That is of an angelic being, only that there is a child born into the world, which means a little angel is there, knowing nothing. It's just a little thing that knows nothing. But every day that it lives, it's moving toward the age of accountability. Every day. Every day. Remember, we come out of Egypt. We move out of Egypt. We're moving to Canaan. We're coming from our mind of garlic and onions. We're heading for Canaan land, the mind of Christ, of the grapes of Eshkol, the milk and the honey. But on the way, we're running to the cross. And that cross is the place of the power of differentiation. You come to a place as you grow, as you mature, as you develop. You come to this place as you approach this place. coming to this place, then you begin to meet oppositions and your life begins to get all mixed up. You begin to get into a state of confusion. You're coming to the middle realm. You're coming to a crossing. See, and you're leaving Egypt and you're going over to Canaan. That's why the world out there that's still down there with the garlic and onion, they don't understand. They don't know what's wrong with us. See, they don't understand, but we know that God's going to turn that thing into a rubbish pile. We're trying to get out of there. So, see, you come to the middle realm. Now remember this, the middle realm, the second heaven. There is no second heaven, only to the extent that Satan has created a second heaven. See, there is a first, which is that of man in man's life, which was there in the garden. See, and there is the third heaven, which means there is a paradise of the earth. And there is a great spiritual angelic world, which is just one as it was in the garden. And there was no second heaven. There was no in between. See, it was God and man. So then, as these things took place, Satan, the expulsion, cast out in the darkness, making his way back up, climbing up into the upper lintel. He gets to the halfway mark, and this is where Calvary comes in. This is where the battle comes in. This is where the contest comes in. This is where Daniel had problems when the angel came there. Revelation 12. See, because Satan had built him a heaven. Where is that heaven? It's this one that you're living in. The upper echelon of the world out here. Those demons and devils, they live in them human bodies. It is a government of the devil himself. It is the powers of the devil. What are they doing? Those fallen angels are living in human bodies. Why do they get in the human bodies? To get away from the drought. To get away from spiritual drought. They get away from that wandering through dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. Take a man, all he wants to do is make money, have prestige, be on the job. You don't realize it, but he's a wandering spirit. That man is just dry. He doesn't have anything spiritual. He doesn't care for anything spiritual. He could care less about spiritual things. His mind is on that position. His mind is on that money. His mind is on excelling in the natural, being something in the world. And he'll go to hell for that because the carnal mind is the image of God. He don't have to be a bad fellow, do something vicious. Those spirits are trying to get into human bodies. So then as those spirits are making money, playing ball, see, those spirits like to take a body to the ball game because they're looking for inspiration. They like for them to watch TV of the ball game because that is spiritual inspiration to them. That is a quickening to them. That is a thrill to them, a laugh, a joke. As they live in the body, they turn the grace of God that is over that body for a allotted period of time, they turn it into lasciviousness, which means that they do their own evil, devilish thing by taking advantage of the days of grace. Ungodly men, as Jude said, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, bringing upon them swift damnation. Jesus said, ye generation of vipers, he called them a generation of vipers, your government's of the viper, you're of the viper, you're on your belly, all of your labor's for your belly because your belly craves it of you. He said, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell, he said. So then, see, they are there doing their thing, and that's all they're interested in, the love of the world. They're interested in passions and young'uns, children, wives, things of the world, frolics, all of these kind of things. That's their interest. That's all they are. They are in that realm. See, they're in that realm. Satan savors the things that be of the world. The more education you can get from the old tree of knowledge, the more that he's got control of you. So he encourages you to stay in the natural, read books, study. Do all of these things. So the second heaven really is a lying vanity. That's why Jonah, the belly of the whale, said it's a lying vanity. That's why Solomon said all is vanity, all is vexation of my spirit. It's a lying vanity. It's something that Satan has created. It's a government that he has set up. And you and I have to break through that government, through that thing, because they are between us and God. And we've got to break through that thing just as they did coming out of Egypt into Canaan. We've got to break through it, and right there is the confusing part. You come to that, the fire on the mountain. My, there would be so much tonight I'd have to say, you'd have to write a book. I'm just going to say a few things, trying to clear up a thought here. But anyway, you come through that, And when you get through that, see, you're all right. But you got to get through that wilderness. The wilderness is when you try to mix darkness with light. You're trying to get back into Egypt. You done lost your garlic and your onions, and you don't know what to do, and you can't depend on your paycheck, and God is commanding you to go out here to worship Him, and the devil is wanting more brick made down in Egypt. Pharaoh's got more brick to be made, and you got to get over into Canaan, and you're just tore up. You don't know what to do. See, that is the wilderness. That is where the mind is transformating from the man's mind of his birth into the mind of Christ. And it's got to cross over the powers of resistance because of the fall, which is the infiltration of the mind of Lucifer. And so then man's mind and God's mind should be one, and man would be happy. But the devil has taken man's mind, and he's got his image, and they're one. Now listen, remember, Lucifer is called the father of a lie. He is the father of a lie. When he told the lie, thou shalt not surely die. Not surely. That was a lie. That was the beginning of a lie. He was the father of a lie. That's where it started. And from that, a perverted world came in. Remember, the end came before the beginning. Remember now. The end came before the beginning. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pye? I mean that in the foreknowledge of God, all of the things of God are known unto Him from the creation of the world. All of His works. This thing was instigated in God's mind, and He saw it all the way down to the end before He ever created anything in the beginning. And God did this so that He could take everything and do it or work it through the Lord Jesus Christ. So then He gave Jesus all things. He even brought man into the image of Jesus. So He gave Jesus all things so that when God got ready to create as to the beginning, the Bible then could say all things are for Him and by Him and through Him, and without Him was nothing made that is made. All things was made for His pleasure. So God gave them to Christ in the foreknowledge. Christ came into view in the foreknowledge. All things were given to Christ. All things were put into Christ. And in this, God was able to start it from the beginning. But He deferred the thing to the extent that it really didn't become effective until Calvary. So the Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was and brought to light at Calvary, which means the rent veil was at Calvary, and when the rent veil came at Calvary, then through the church ages it was brought to light, it was taught down through the church ages, and the different ones received it down through the church ages as unto what it meant to you and I as a revelation from Paul the Apostle. All right, so then the dispute is over the body. The devil is trying his best to subdue that spirit. Remember, as you approach Canaan land, you're coming out of Egypt, the first thing you've got to do is go through the wilderness. You're going to see the pillar of fire, and much we can say about that, Brother Branham. And you're going to see lots of things. You're going to come to the mountain that'll smoke with fire. You're going to do it. You're going to run into the serpents. You're going to have to turn to the brazen serpent. You're going to move on through. But remember this one thing, and this is where you people get left out. This is why the Bible said straight is the gate and narrow is the way. This is where you missed it. Not going to miss it. It's where you already missed it. Being carnally minded, you was cut off in the foreknowledge of God. So then, coming to the wilderness, as your spirit, which was born in a little human body, that finally begin to mature and begin to develop, finally there comes a record in heaven. It's wrote down in heaven. A little life is now matured. A little life is now developed. This little life now has characteristics. It's done certain things. It's doing certain things. It's seeing certain things. It's saying certain things. And all that becomes an invisible life on record in heaven. Now there's another angel on record. The invisible you. The invisible you. You're coming to the age of differentiation. You're coming to the age of accountability. Now you've got to differentiate. God can't charge nothing against you. He protected the body down through the years, he protected the body because the spirits were ignorant, but now they're maturing. Now they're coming to accountability. As one comes to accountability, even as you live your life individually, as one, or a group, or the church, or in this day, as people come to the age of accountability, they cannot be charged with wrong until they have come to a knowledge of wrong. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. The man that doesn't know to do right or wrong, God cannot charge anything against him. So grace has taken care of the church thus far. But now the heavens is being filled with the knowledge of God, and the earth is being filled. And you devils and demons that are sitting out there in the congregation or listening to my voice tonight or today, you devils and demons are about to be cast out. You're about to be recognized. You that feed your belly, and that's all you care about, and that's all you want. Jobs and money and frolics and ball games. I'll preach a little as I go. All of these things, you devils and demons, you're about to be taken out of the body. God's about to pluck out. He's about to throw back. He's caught everything with his net. He's about to throw back what he don't want. He's about to pluck up the tares and get rid of them. He's about to cut down the wheat and gather it into his barn so he can burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. But anyway, as you come to this, this is where you get away from the devils and the demons. You lead them back in the wilderness. See, getting over the Jordan, getting over the carnal mind, and many things we'd like to say if it wasn't for the many devils and demons tonight. But anyway, getting to this, see, there is the love of God that is in your heart. Your spirit is a spirit of love and a spirit of hunger and a spirit of thirst. It is hungry. It is thirsting after the things of God. It hates this life. It hates this world. It abstains from the things of this world because it wars against it. Your spirit, you that are born of God, your spirit sealed by the Holy Spirit. In this, as you approach this thing, if there is any resistance in you at all, then you get hung up as you start through that second rim, as you start through that fictitious heaven, as you start through that thing that Satan has made, as you get close to that web, and the sparkle of the dewdrops. You know, you get close to that. As you get close to it, then you're relative to it and you lock up with it. And you can't go through it. You're hung up right there. See, you can't get through it because you are not free of the infiltration. You're not purified. You're not clean in heart. So you can't get through it. But see, as Satan comes to meet you with his resistance, his evil powers, his evil forces, as a middle wall of partition, he has you in a bondage. You are in a bondage of the barrier of time. So then, as you come near the powers of Lucifer, so then coming near that spirit, as you come near it, then unless you are free from the evil powers of Lucifer and the infiltration, you can't pass through it. It's a wall. You strike the middle wall of partition. You're relative to it. You're hung up in the world. You can't get through it. One thing will get you. One thing or another will get you. Those spirits will get into your body one way or another because you're not sanctified in God and not filled with the Holy Spirit. So then, being religious, you still get in there without a wedding garment, which is the body of the Lord Jesus. Not my spirit, you're none of mine. So then, when you get to that, you got to pass through that barrier like Jesus that went through the wall. When he come through that wall, he come to that barrier, he just went right through the wall. See, because he was from over yonder. I come from heaven. I go over yonder. I'm going to heaven. Anything in between, it don't exist in my mind. You go to sleep. You have strong delusions. You lose your mind, whatever it might be. See, when you get into that world of dreaming or whatever, it doesn't matter if an elephant is running around with a lion's tail and a bullfrog is running around with goat horns. As far as you're concerned, that's the way it's supposed to be. Say, that's just right. Frogs are supposed to have goat horns. And then when you come out of that, you say, oh my God, that was the craziest thing. Why did I think like that? But in that world, it was right. See, when Daniel saw leopards with wings, a lion with a man's heart, and we could comment a lot on that. See, he thought it was right. And the vision was right. God was showing him something. See, in that world, it's right. So as long as you're in this world of lying vanities, it's right. But if you ever wake up, if you ever wake up and get out of sleep, you're going to say, oh my God, what a horrible nightmare that was.
you know, eating and glutton, passion, and all this junk and this mess that I was caught in. You know, because you're going to see real life. You're going to see real happiness. But right now, you're having your nightmare. God will call one morning, and he'll say, Abraham, wake up. Sarah, wake up. It's morning. The day star is here. The sun's coming over the horizon. You know, Brother Pike, wake up. Come on now.
See, that is to say that this world, you can't go through that wall. Why is it you can't do that? Because you are a prisoner of time. You are a prisoner of lying vanities. To observe those, you forsake your mercy from God, your mercy as to another world. So you can't go through that wall. What is it? It's a time barrier. That time barrier, you can't get through it. You'd like to, but you can't get through it. You can't go back into the past. You can't go into the future because of the time barrier. Time came into existence. And you started counting days. A numerical order came into your mind as to function in formality. You set your life according to the stride of time. So then you become a prisoner of time. Your faith is in time. And time kills you. That's what kills you. So then from the very beginning of creation, time set in. And your mind was programmed to your circumstantial environment as time. So you're caught within the realm of the time barriers. And you can't get out. You've got to excel the time barriers. You've got to get into another mind, the mind of Christ. You've got to get beyond the angel, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, swearing by him that liveth forever there as time will be no more. You've got to get out of the time barriers, get away from that. See, when Jesus came along, he passed over the time barriers. He just walked right through the wall. Because he was from heaven, he went back to heaven. He said, I'm dwelling in heaven. See, he wasn't in the confinement of these walls of the time barriers, so he just walked right through it. See, as long as you're in that dream, as long as you're caught in that nightmare, as long as you're having that hallucination, there's a wall out there, whatever you see. You can't get through it. There ain't no way you could get through it. Because every time you start, you're in that vision, you're in that world, you say, I can't go that way. That's the wall. I bump my head. I run into it. Quick as you come out of it, there ain't no wall there. There ain't no head bumping there. You broke that area. You broke that time thing as to your wild imagination and whatever the program for your mind is, and you go right on through the wall. Ain't a wall out there. You understand what I'm saying? But you are creatures of time. That means you are creatures of bondage. To be in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, that means that you are creatures of bondage unto death. For death is a bondage. Death is a wall of resistance. Death is a middle wall of petition. Death is that's got you. You're not going to escape it. But beloved friend, if you come into the mind of Christ, if you find the revelation of the Son of God, if you come to the right thing, which the church world in general is not going to do, if you do that, then you won't worry about death. You won't worry about anything else because you pass beyond all of that. And that hath no more power over you. So then you can figure it out in your natural mind or your wretched way of understanding, and you can talk it all away and figure it out and erase it and rearrange it like the devils do with their doctrines of the devils. And when you get through, it's still going to be that great doctrine of God, and you're just going to be bound hand and feet in that old intellectual concept of yours, and everybody that listens to you will be in the same condition. The blind lead the blind. They all fall into the ditch. And the god of this world has blinded them that they might not see. They have the love of the world in them, the desire of the world, their own carnal reasoning, leaning to their own understanding. They're in bondage to the things of the world. They're overcome by that. So then, the dispute is over the body. The body is the Lord's. God doesn't want you to injure the body. You shouldn't go around saying, old corruptible flesh, get the old junky devil out of the way. That's God's body. The body is the Lord's. You should be praying and seeking God, trying to get the devilish infiltration of your carnal reasoning out of it. And the old spirit of the devil out. You know, corruptible flesh is corruptible because the devil is in it. Get him out of it. Let God translate it, transfigure it. Translate your spirit, transformate your mind, transfigure your body. And he will do it if you follow through the courses you're supposed to do in Christ. When you come to this crossroad, you come to this Calvary, you come to this rim, if there is any bit of resistance in you, any infiltration in you, then you can't pass through. See, because when the devil meets you with resistance, you're going to resist too. When a man comes up and wants to punch you in the nose, as we say, all of a sudden you get the idea you want to punch him in the nose. Or if he stirs up your temper, all of a sudden you want revenge. See, and you can't pass through the battle, you begin to mix it. But brothers and sisters, when you become Christ, the battle is already won. And when you get the mind of Christ and there's nothing but love in you, God is love, then evil is overcome by good. And when you meet it, there is no resistance. See, Satan can't lay hold on anything. There's not one thing that he can lay hold on. That's what happened to him when Jesus defeated him. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, he hath no part in me." There's not one thing he's ever stirred up in me as to retaliate. There's not one thing that he's ever done to me to catch me in his web. I'll pass right through it. As the light that passes through a glass window and goes right through the barrier, and it has no power of resistance, you pass right through, and you go from down here, your spirit, from this garlic and onion land of birth, right on into the Canaan land of God's Spirit in heaven. You pass right through that wilderness of confusion, and the devil can't touch you. He can't find you. You pass right through the wall. The rent veil, you go right on through into that great, wonderful place. That means that many hundreds and millions of people already caught in the web. They can't go through. They're in a religious thing. It's just a religious thing. And they don't have that wonderful spiritual birth of Christ. If you have not his spirit, you're none of his. They've never got that. They're just full of ideology and full of religion and full of all the things that they think and say. And they don't know nothing about translation or the divine work of the Almighty God. But beloved friend, your spirit is sealed. That when it passes through, it's like the Jews in the tribulation. They're sealed in their head. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And in your spiritual transitional changes, as the Jews through their natural of tribulation, nothing can spot you. Nothing can touch you. You keep yourself. The evil one, he can't find you. He can't touch you. You pass right through the barrier and go right on in. Somebody jumps up and they have a temper, but they don't stir you up. You just turn and walk off, or you just pray for them. Somebody comes and they say smart things to you, but you don't say smart things to them. You just love your way right on through. All of the resistance, all of the things. Somebody says, "Let's go to Six Flags. Let's go down to the beach." Ain't nothing wrong with this, the devil says. "Let's do this and let's do that. Let's get this and let's get that." See, let's get all of these things, the devil says. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I know. You know, nothing wrong with it for Esau. But Jacob, let me tell you something. We're passing through the land of Esau. And Esau's land is fixing to be burned with fire. Remember this. Is there any virtue in it? Does it edify? Will it transformate? Will it bring you to the desired place that you need to come to in God? See, this is the thing that's important. That is what God is saying to you. Leave the other alone. It's not a matter of whether it's right or wrong, as to say. It's not wrong to do this or wrong to do that. The writer said, let's go on to a full reward. And the writer asked the question, does it edify? Is it beautiful? Is it the thing of God? Does it have virtue in it? Is it going to build your faith up? If not, leave it alone. It's carnal. It's of the world. It'll lead to death. It's just one of the steps that leads into the house of death. Let me tell you, folks, you don't fool God. You could fool Brother Pike if the Lord would let you. But it's like I told somebody sitting outside, and I'm going to let you go in a few minutes, sitting outside on the front porch today between services. One of the most evil, wretched, low-down, dirty things I know of is somebody talking about being with you when they're always tearing you down, cutting you down, a back biting. The Bible says if you do that, you won't stand in the hill of God. So all those things, constantly, never stop with your devilish doings, unclean and filthy, wallowing in the mire and gnawing on the bone and lapping your vomit, going about, you know, doing that turn down. But after a while, God will hit you like that. He'll cut you down like a bay tree, and that'll be the end of you. He'll tear you into pieces. So beware of you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. A hypocrite. See,
not the sinners, but them that said, good master. Them that said, master, what would you have me to do? Jesus said, thou hypocrite. Religious folks. But in the midst of all of that, there are the dear children of God. Few, very few, very few. Little flock, but they're there. And the rest of them are just religious people that stand at the door. But folks, let me tell you, you don't realize it, but you've already missed it. It isn't a matter of you trying to hurry and get with Brother Pike or get with Brother whoever, you know, or whether it's with Brother Branham or Brother Pike or Brother Osmond or Brother whoever. You know, it don't matter about that. You've already missed it. You missed it in the foreknowledge of God. He saw your attitude and He ordained you as an ungodly man under condemnation, one that was turning His grace into lasciviousness and cut you off as Judas, where the prophecy said, let another his bishop take before he was ever born in the world. When he came, he went to his place. God's already determined your place. See, but you that love the Lord, God saw your attitude. You that have the right desire, and I'd love to be able to say something about that, but I won't. You that have the right desire, God foresaw your attitude. God foreordained you unto eternal life and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. Mind the things I'd like to say tonight. Seal you with the Holy Spirit so that they can't hurt you. They can't touch you. The only thing they can do is confuse you. If you're little in the Lord, if you don't follow your shepherd, you can be led astray. See, and the first news you know, you'll be out there wandering around and they'll put thoughts in your mind and you'll be wondering, well, maybe this is right, maybe that's right. You know, and you'll drift off from the shepherd and you'll be in trouble. Doctrines of devils they'll bring to you. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They can do anything. It don't bother them. They can go to movies. They can go to ball games. They can curse. They can fuss. They can fight. They can take dope. They can ride. They can go and never support nothing in the gospel. They can go without praying, seeking God. It never bothers them because they've already seared their conscience and they've already sealed their doom. But you that love the Lord, all they can do to you is hinder you. They might cause a little problem, cause a little confusion, but it won't be long. And you'll be right back on your feet and everything will be going good. Let me say this in closing. They are in your midst for one reason. And that is to distort your mind. Satan uses them to make it look like they're prospering. So that you'll follow after them. When God is going to cut them off. David said spreading themselves like a green bay tree that won't help in nothing. Spots and blemishes. He said, I'll just cut them down. I'll just cut them off. So they try to make it look like that so that they'll deceive you to cause you to get off balance. And they'll say you're in prison because they are freelance, run everywhere, do nothing. Wandering stars for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. You say, going into darkness, already in darkness. They're already in darkness. When you're in the intellectual mind, you're in carnality, you're in death, you're in darkness. Paul turned my people from that carnal mind to light or darkness to light. The midst of darkness being reserved forever. Eat, drink, lay on an air condition, make excuses. That's all they'll ever do. A lazy man that'll never have a paycheck on payday. All right. Now, I asked this morning, how many of you feel now that we pushed and shoved till we've got down to the end? How many of you think we ought to spend the rest of the night in prayer? On Mount Olive's sacred brow, Jesus spent the night in prayer, praying for you and I. How many of you think that we ought to pray all night and I just spend the rest of the night here in prayer? You don't feel like you ought to, do you? Somebody said, well, I don't feel led to. You didn't last night and the night before and the week before and the year before and the 2 years before and the 3 years before. You didn't feel led to then. And you know what? You ain't ever going to feel led to, because the flesh ain't never going to do nothing for God. It'll never do anything for God. But I'll tell you what, if you'll get with a good shepherd, somebody that loves God and somebody that God's leading and somebody's that God's teaching to pray and to live right, you'll do it. Evil communications corrupts good manners. And whoever you fellowship with, birds of a feather flock together. Soon you're just like them. Soon your vision is just like them. Whatever they're doing, that's what you want to do. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate the kind attention. And like I said, don't mean to scold and reprove, because you listen good as an audience. I don't have any reason to do that. I don't have any reason to scold you. But there are devils and demons in your midst and in your feast of charity. And these are some of the most aggravating devils year after year that you'll ever run into. They care nothing about God or God's people or God's thing. And anything that they want to learn it for their selfish, devilish means and their devilish programs to project themselves and their devilish doings. You know, and to continue on making money and living in the world and whatever, and with the consolation of knowing, you know, when they don't know nothing, especially something that they need to know. Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you need to know, and what you need to know is that you don't know nothing, so you can learn something. So then we come to church. We call this an endurance. Some little old nothing sitting here maybe an hour or something listening to the preacher, some little old nothing, sweat a little bit. Some of you sweat three times as much on your job feeding the belly. You know, and sitting here where you're sitting down, relaxing. When the preacher's up there preaching, moving around, talking, screaming, using up his energy. You know, and you don't go through nothing. Complain, feel like you've endured something. Hardship on you. Rough on you to come to church. I admit the little babies, it's a little bit rough on the babies. I admit that, the little folks. But folks, it's no more rougher here than it is you hauling them around in the car and taking them all over creation everywhere and closing their little pores up by getting them on the air conditioning, taking them back out and opening it up, and just all winter, all summer, you drag them around, you just leave them laying anywhere, go somewhere, just talk. I've seen some of you mothers that are in here. Talk, lay the little one on the bed over here, and daddy could care less about him. You know, daddy's gone too. But in the church, mommy, she cares so much. Daddy, darling, take this little darling out. And mommy, you take him out. You know, and mommy's got to do this, and daddy's got to do that. You know, it's horrible that you use such gimmicks as your children, and such gimmicks as your job, and such gimmicks as to feeding the belly, to disgrace the house of God, and to do spite to the Holy Spirit. He said, who are you talking to, Brother Pike? I'm talking to the devils and the demons. And I'm exhorting the children of God not to be enticed by them. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it with me. For we have anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you.
Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it with me now. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. For he has come back to your life once again. So let him in. To stay far, oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Hold us to the Savior and his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just live with the Lord for today. And if the sun shines or the rain falls, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Can you sing with me? Oh, let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God for today. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. Oh, tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God for today. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God for today. And if the sun shines or the rain falls, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Can you say this one more time? Let tomorrow I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. I appreciate you coming to be with us. Remember, there's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. And there's the warfare tonight. It's over your body. One is going to win out.
Either Christ or Lucifer is going to win out. Lucifer has won out with many human bodies. Today there are devil worshipers. They're in all kind of conditions. All kind of conditions. And Satan has won out. And he's used those bodies. He has misused those bodies, molested those bodies, disgraced those bodies, until it's like a dirty, filthy garment. And only the great God of heaven with his blood, his atoning blood, can move the filth and the dirt and the scum and the uncleanness of your thoughts and of the mind and the things that you've given place to. Only God can clean you up from those things. So folks, let me encourage you to listen to the Lord. I love you and I want to help you. But honestly, before God, if you don't get spiritual, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. If you don't get your mind off of eating and drinking in the world and get your mind on spiritual things to try to understand holy things, there ain't no hope for you. Because this thing is a transitional change of your inner man, your spirit, from one world to another world. The body of the flesh profiteth nothing. It's going to be changed from this bodily entombment of the corruptible flesh of that which has been infiltrated. It's going to be changed after the transitional changes of the spirit and the glorification of that inner man. This body is going to take a change at Thessalonians. Time of the coming of the Lord. That life is going into that heavenly tabernacle. If this tabernacle in the wilderness be dissolved, we have another one on the other side of Calvary. Eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. Remember, your body is on one side of Calvary. Your spirit angel is on the other side. On the side that your body's on, it's in this earth. You're buried down here. You're dead to the generations around you. They don't understand you. But your angel has ascended from the body. At death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. It crossed over Calvary. It's in the resurrection of Christ. It's dwelling in heaven. On that side is heaven. That makes a continual warfare between the body and your spirit. The devil is still trying as the skin worms to work in your body. Dead in the sight of God. Dead to sin by the body of Christ, so God won't have to charge anything against it or destroy it until the time that he can change it. While you're standing here tonight with your hands up, reverencing the Lord, I want you to consider the things that I'm telling you. I'm going to ask Brother John Jameson to come up and pray. And I want you to consider the things that I'm telling you. Don't forget, tomorrow's another day. Things to do for God. Sister Frances is concerned about the flowers. Needs help. We need help. Clothes need to be sent to Mexico. Things need to be done on the home front. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to get in tune for the revivals. You need to ask God what you can do. This is your opportunity to reach out into the fields and win souls through the radio, through the tent, through many other things. Soon the opportunity will be gone. It's your opportunity. You're just going to sit around and die. Eat and drink. The Bible said, and sit there till you die. Making money and looking for prestige and looking for the things of the world. Complaints and grumblings and mumblings till the earth, even your physical being, will swallow you up and they'll put you in a tomb. Folks, make a commitment to God. Make a plan something for God. Get your vision for God. You can't imagine the devils and demons that's coming in among you. I stand up here and I'm able to see them through Christ. You can't imagine them things waiting to devour you. If you could see them, it would scare you half to death. They're there. They're there. While you've got your hands up, your eyes closed, I feel like I did this morning. I still feel something as to tarrying and lingering. This morning I kept you because something wasn't right. Tonight it still ain't right. It ain't got right yet. Still ain't right. I don't know what it is. Like I said this morning, could be your loved ones, my loved ones. Could be you, could be me. Could be somebody, could be that time. Could be that time. Young or old, it could be that time. You know, things ain't right. You push and you shove. You let the devil stir you up. Cause you not to give God sufficient time. He's trying his best to save your life and save your children. And you're so anxious to go to bed, to get up early, to make a dollar, to get out, to do your own thing, that the Bible said you feed your children to the devil. Said you sold your daughter and son for a glass of wine. You sell out cheaper than Judas did. I tell you what it is. There's some people here that just ain't right with God. You're practicing corruption. That's what it is. This morning it wasn't quite so clear. But you're absolutely practicing filth and corruption and doing the things of the world, and you're hypocriting around on God. That's what you're doing. You're doing the things of the world, listening to the wrong things and seeing the wrong things and being in the wrong places. And you're in bad shape. That's what's wrong with you. And you're listening to me right now. But you know what? I told you, if you don't care, that's between you and the Lord. I care to the extent that I told you, asked you, prayed with you, pleaded with you, fasted before God at times to help find Christ for your life. But if you just don't care and you want to have that haughtiness and temper and ugliness, and you want to do those base things, and you want to live with the devil, and you know what? I got a feeling that this night that the Lord is just about ready to let some of you do it. I think this night, from where I feel, is going to get some of you. I think after this night, you'll be able to do it without too much problem. I don't think your conscience will bother you much more. And I don't think you'll have much more problems than the thing that you found it a little hard to do. I think it's going to be easy. For why don't you just watch and see? I think it's going to be a little easier for you to do it. I think it's going to be a little easier for you to do it. And I think that God is going to leave it with you. We're about to pray. And as John comes to pray tonight, you know, we have the power to bless. We have the power to curse. The Bible said, he that believeth my prophet shall prosper. You don't believe because you don't practice. But from this night, there's something that is going to happen. Okay, while your heads are bowed, I want John to come and dismiss you. Remember, I told you. Remember this night. I told you. Don't forget it now. Mark it down. Remember this night. I told you. Brother John.